Thank you. It is a Tech Tuesday, and you know who we're going to talk to on the stream today?
I'm hoping it's Bridget Carey from CNET.
Ding, ding, ding. Bridget Carey, senior editor at CNET. You can go to CNET.com. Bridget, how are you?
Can I always have that intro? The little booby boob.
You like that? That's Ima Sumac, who died.
That's not why we play it.
No, that's not the reason.
It's Amy spelled backwards, Ima Sumac, and it's called Jungala, I believe.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's some beautiful music. Hey, earlier, Bridget, Wendy and I were discussing these robots that Facebook created that created their own language, and they had to shut them down because they were afraid that they would destroy the world. Did you hear this story at all?
A little bit overplayed, the whole afraid destroy the world part. You know, it kind of gets carried away in the news a bit.
Yeah.
It sounds great, right?
You know,
Terminator, we all love that. Here's what happened. So Facebook, along with a lot of other companies, they're working on artificial intelligence to have, like, chatbots and whatnot kind of figure things out. And in their testing, some chatbots decided to start their own language. Well, it was like abbreviated nonsense version of English that was like, I guess, shortcuts to the computer. And this comes right as Zuckerberg and Elon Musk get into a little bit of, you know, a back and forth online about the dangers of AI, and Mark Zuckerberg saying, you know, Elon Musk, you're overstating it. That's irresponsible. And he's like, no, you don't understand. You don't get it. And so everyone's like watching, like, oh my gosh, these two tech titans are like battling it out over like doom and gloom of this. And suddenly, a couple days later, the program ends at Facebook. So everyone thinks it's because Facebook was scared. What happened, according to, if you really dig, you know, a little bit deeper in some of these reports, that the whole nonsense language, it wasn't useful to Facebook's researchers. So they simply stopped it and reprogrammed it to only speak English. But it does show you some interesting things about how AI is sometimes trying to solve its own problems. And in this case, it was just trying to be more effective at, like, shorthand, but if you look it up, the sentences are just nonsense. Me, I, it sounds like old McDonald, E-I-E-I-O, you know?
Yes.
Make a lot of sense. And it does prove that you really shouldn't always set AI loose and wild on certain aspects. Like, you know, people are working on weapons, for example. Do you really want them inventing their own rules? So, you know, shall we play a game and whatnot? So, yeah, there were some warning signs here, but I wouldn't call this like, oh my gosh, the Terminator, it took control, we had to shut it down.
But the potential, I mean, even though this was kind of innocuous, the potential for something far worse is certainly that you could see why somebody could be alarmed by this, right?
Yeah. And it certainly is weird to think, what, a computer invented its own language? It's good at that. Now they're going to conspire against humanity.
Yeah.
and I think it does show a lot of what if, but in this particular case, Facebook wasn't scared, I would say. They just simply were bored.
Oh, all right.
All right, I have a question for you. There was an update that came over on my iPad and iPhone. I don't have an iPod.
They're going to stop, speaking of those really quickly, they're going to stop making the Nano and the Shuffle.
Haven't they stopped making
those?
No,
they just, the other day, right?
It's the end. Yeah, last week, that was the big news.
That's it.
End of the Shuffle, end of the Nano. The only iPod that exists in name is that iPod Touch, which is just an iPhone without the phone. So, yeah, like the age of the screenless, you know, Apple product is over. It was the last that were not internet connected. And I think that they just want to push you to buy those Apple watches and play your music off those if you're going to go running.
My kids use their old iPhones that in the old days you would buy it. And you didn't have to rent it like you do now.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got a new phone, they would just keep their old one, and that's what they use as iPods at this point.
Yep, it's smart.
I use my iPod as an iPod.
That's which crazy.
I know. Everybody thinks it's crazy.
Well, there was an update that came across. I noticed it yesterday or maybe the day before, and I always like to check with you first. It's an update to the iOS, Bill.
Oh.
The iOS.
Oh, you have me.
Is it safe to do?
I like how you always ask me because you never know. And this time, no bad reports. Sounds like it's an easy, small one to do. I think when you have to be a little more concerned is when it's a really big one. Like you start to see people report, a new update is coming. It's going to change everything on the phone. These smaller ones are really just about like, oh, we fixed a glitch. Oh, we patched this hole. So, yeah, this one's clear that this one's not going to break your phone. It's the bigger ones that I always tend to wait a few days on.
All right, and I hate to be all Apple, but it seems like everything is Apple. There's been a leak about the new iPhone 8. Are they going to call it 8 or X?
There are so many rumors on, there could be the 7S and the 8, but maybe they won't call it 8 at all because it's the big 10th year anniversary. Maybe they'll just call it iPhone Pro. You never know what they're going to throw out, but there is some solid sourcing on what we do know from the rumors. This top-of-the-line phone, some code was out in their speaker that referenced the phone and what it can do. So Apple, in its code for its speaker, kind of gave away some of the secrets that it will be able to detect your face and unlock the phone with your face. There's no home button on the front. We've heard that for a while, but the code also confirms that. Now, does that mean you're going to unlock your phone with just your face? Is there going to be any thumbprint at all on there?
That would hurt.
That would definitely hurt.
Yeah, oh, you mean, well, I mean the image, the camera, camera people.
Oh, okay.
Backing your nose on there. Although, yeah. hold on, I have to pay for this and smack your nose. We have confirmation that it's going to be a big screen, no home button on the bottom, but will there be any sort of thumbprint? You know, that wasn't confirmed. But face detection in there and something like called tap to wake. So maybe if your phone's asleep, you could just like tap the screen quickly. It'll be awake. We'll have to see. But usually this kind of phone is revealed in the first or second week of September. They haven't set a date yet.
All right, is there any non-Apple news that's going on in the world?
I have another phone story. It's kind of spooky. Amazon pulled its best-selling phone. It's a phone you probably never heard of. It's called the Blue, or Blue is the company that makes them. They're really cheap. They're Android, $60.
Bill, this is right up your alley.
That's about what I would like to spend, yeah. But
well,
they've pulled it already.
Well, they pulled it because for that cheap price, your information is being sent to China.
Oh, no.
A little bit of a downer there.
What are they doing with my information if I had information?
Okay, so security researchers found back in November that the hot-selling Blue phone had some spyware on it that was recording your texts and what you were doing, and that information was going to China for some reason. And the company goes, oh, this is just a mistake. We're going to fix it. So they fixed on that one model. But then researchers last week found it on other types of Blue phones. And in light of that news, Amazon just pulled it. This was its best-selling phone, but Amazon said, nope, we're going to review it. So they halted it. The page is still up. It just says unavailable. The company insists it's not spyware. Every company gathers your data. You know, we're not doing something spooky here. But there's no understanding of, like, okay, if you're collecting things, what is it for? You know, so you should have red flags go up for anything like this, regardless of what the company says. The reason it was so cheap is because it was a phone that Amazon partnered with to put ads on the lock screen. So it was $60 because every time you turn on the phone, there's a big Amazon ad on the front, and then you have to click through that.
Is that terrible? I don't know. Why is that bad? I'm trying to figure out why that's bad.
Why is it bad to get an ad? No, it's not. It's just something that...
It's an intrusion.
And Amazon partnered with this phone. So, you know, just because Amazon partners with something, you know, people kind of go, oh, this sounds good.
Yeah.
Good deal. Must be trustworthy. You know, keep your suspicions up on things. Do your homework. You know, the news on them having spyware has been out since November. But it's only until it was out again that Amazon goes, oh, I guess we should pull them all and re-review these, you know? So companies don't always care about your privacy like you do.
And you said this was their best-selling phone, right, Bridget?
Yes.
Because it was cheap.
For $60.
We reviewed it on CNET. It was basic. It the best part about it was the price, and it did its job.
Could you do any fun things on it?
You
could, but China would be onto you.
Yeah, they
already
for $40. They send it to Panda Express. That's an even better deal.
Hey, if they could figure out I want orange chicken about twice a month,
they know you want it.
All right,
they know.
Bridget, you may not know the answer to this question, and I hate to throw this at you, but I just want your opinion on something. And you have a baby who will sometime get to the age where she will start college. I have to buy textbooks for my son, and they have an option where you can buy the actual textbook, which is like $326 for this one class, or you could get the digital version of the textbook, which is $100 cheaper. And in my opinion, don't you think the digital textbook would be better in the sense if you wanted to search something, you punch it in and it comes up easier than, you know, looking through the book? Also, you don't have to carry a heavy book in your book bag. I just wondered your thoughts on that.
Go with always with the cheaper option. Textbooks are crazy expensive and it adds up so fast and it's ridiculous because when you resell it, you get like $20. Two, if you have a good tablet or one of those laptops that has the top that folds back. So it depends on your learning style, right? If you want to hold that book, well, hold that tablet in a way that maybe you have a touch screen with a highlighter stylus. You know, like I know friends who, like, we didn't have this, you know, the digital books back then were terrible when I went to college. And, you know, I always wanted to have that highlighter in my hand and
yeah.
That way. So if you have a kid that learns that way, make sure you have a computer to read it on that they can kind of scribble notes on or do whatever in that regard. So that way, you know, if it kind of sinks in better. And here's another one I throw out at you. No one ever talks about it, but you can get older versions of the same textbook for so much cheaper. The only downside is that if their teacher says turn to page 10, you might have to like fiddle and like turn to page 12 and then ask the professor, hey, is anything different from the 10th version versus, you know, version 15? And they might go, oh, I think this chapter changed. And at least you can know ahead of time if you can save a lot of money by getting an older, outdated version.
A textbook shouldn't cost, you know, upwards of $300, but then the digital version shouldn't only be $100 off.
I know,
it's not costing them. I mean, it's the copyright.
Right.
And I get that, but you shouldn't be paying anywhere near that.
I can't
that.
Even remember what, I think it was for a history course. It's
yeah.
either history or math, but I couldn't believe the price of the book on that.
It's a lot of money.
It is.
And then check how much they are for used. You got to do a little bit of searching, because if it's used in the same version or just one version off, definitely go for that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's five versions old or maybe then a chapter's off, you know, you might not want to do that.
And you mentioned the touchscreen laptops. I got one a couple laptops ago, and I never used the touchscreen. And I noticed that they went away for a while, and now touchscreen computers are back. Is that what the benefit of it if you're reading something or doing something? Because some of the new computers, there's an HP Spectre that we're looking at that has a stylus that comes with it. So is that when you're talking about circling the things in the book and stuff?
Yeah, it depends on the software, too, right? Because you could say, oh, it's a touch screen, but the software doesn't let you scribble or, you know, highlight.
Yeah.
Get to know the Microsoft programs. They all have that. Get to know what kind of stylus pen is available. You don't want to do it with your finger. You know, that way, if it's lightweight, you carry your backpack and just kind of fold it and go, get a feel for it in the store, you know, doing some doodling.
I'm going to doodle.
You should definitely doodle. Now, Bridget, I know that we don't normally turn to you for film reviews, but I'm just curious because I know you like science fiction movies so much. Why is Valerian getting such awful reviews? Did you see it?
Oh, I have a baby. I don't see movies.
Oh.
I don't waste my time on that. Like, oh my gosh. It's you have to really ask, have you looked at the poster? It's like some mishmash of every single sci-fi movie without any purpose. There's like a little bit of Star Wars and Battlestar in there.
Yeah.
It's like they like took everything that was hot from everything in sci-fi and go, let's all mash it together. And I think there's just weak. I'm like, oh, there's a kid hero. I don't think people are really sold on it.
That's the problem.
I just read the headlines, how bad it was.
I kept seeing previews for it. And with every movie I would go to, they would show a preview of this movie. And I go, this looks outstanding. I can't wait to see it. And I couldn't find a good review anywhere. Every review
it does look good in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
So people don't like kid stars? How did Boss Baby do so well then? Because Alec Baldwin was it?
I think because Alec Baldwin's in it. Yeah, that's why. All right, what else should we know, Bridget? Is there anything else going on that we should cover today?
Well, if you're looking into old game consoles, retro's hot again.
Yeah.
We have a review of the new Sega Genesis machine and the Atari.
Sega!
And I would say, the Sega one, it's a little disappointing.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's $80. It's only good if you have your old cartridges because the ones, the games that it comes preloaded with are so lame and just few. So if you have, like, your favorite games, like, I want to play my favorite Madden game or whatever, they aren't even preloaded on this stuff.
But can you use your old ones? Because I have a ton of, like, Toe Jam and Earl I love. The Cool Spot 7-Up game is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Wendy, Toe Jam and Earl is my favorite.
Oh, God, I love the music.
So,
we have to play.
All right.
You are allowed, though, to put in old games, right? You can, if you have a, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it takes the old cartridges. In fact, that's what I would say it's good for. So if your old machine broke and you want something to play the old cartridges, it does. But if you just want to, if you have nothing and you want to have the experience, that's where it's lame. It only has a few Sonic games and some random stuff on there.
All right, so here's the question, because last Christmas I saw at Toys R Us, there was an Atari version of this and an Intellivision, I think a Coleco version, and they all come loaded with 20 or 25 games, but it's their worst games. Is that intentional? Why don't they put it's all their worst games. Why don't they figure out that we don't want to play the bad ones? Is there a reason?
Because they're banking on your nostalgia, love, and they don't have the rights to everything. So with the Sega one, it's only the ones that Sega made. It's not any Electronic Arts games, and I love those things.
Yeah.
That's why, at least in that case. But we do have a review of the Atari one and the new one that came out, so you can get a list of all the games on there and see if any tickle your fancy.
All right. And that's the Atari 2600?
I forgot.
The basic Atari, the regular one?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
All right, we got to figure out how you and I can play online Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Jammin'.
Oh, my God, yes, the little feet. I'm sorry, I'm reminiscing. You know, when I used to play this is before my husband and I were married, and we used to drink beers and play Toe Jam and Earl, and it was very fun.
I had to rent this game like 20 times from Blockbuster because I couldn't find it. And when I became a grown-ass adult, I finally bought it. So,
all right. We're both exposing our inner geek, and that's totally cool. Well, thank you so much. We can find you at CNET.com.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Bridget, right. Thanks so much. Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, you too.
It's
bye.
Bridget Carey from CNET. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next. And then a lot more coming up after that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.